Before I do start, I would like to put in a commercial for something. I know we don't normally do that here at the church, but I'm gonna put in a real commercial. I would like to advertise prayer and put in a commercial that I think you should get some. And the reason I'm saying that, last Sunday's message was, the title was something like, "This house shall remain a house of prayer," or be known as a house of prayer. And I don't know about you, it really affected me. You know, it's good when your preaching causes you to repent, is it? And it's not that I dropped out of prayer. I get lots of prayer time in. You know, a lot of it is windshield prayer, you know, because you get busy with things. But I still have my, and Sue knows, I get up early in the morning, usually before daylight. And I have this little fountain that we built out in the front. I like to sit on the porch and pray. And, you know, if the Lord starts speaking, I have this little Chromebook that I type in. I mean, I have some quiet alone time, just my word and the Lord and prayer and the Holy Ghost. Okay. But I got to tell you, my prayer life, like it used to be in the early days, we're going to talk about your first love today. I think that's the way he's going to go. Which, by the way, when I started listening to Bronk's message that he did Wednesday night, it was Friday morning at the gym when I was hearing it. And he says, we're going to talk about your first love. I go, Lord, why do you always give it to Bronk first? He's your favorite. Oh, anyway. Kids in the house, you know. But compared to my the amount of prayer life that I had in the trucking days, now that was all windshield time. Don't tell me it doesn't work. It does work. And then the ugly building days, so when I had I wasn't driving the trucks, and most of you know I had a few years at a place I called the ugly building. It got less ugly as I lived there. I kept working on it. Lived there. I almost lived there. But it was a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer, and a lot of foundational things were laid in my life. Well, did I say go to Jude? That didn't? Oh, go ahead and open up to Jude. I'm going to give you my commercial banner. Like, here's my billboard for the day. You drive down the road, you see commercials, right? We're going to see our billboard from Scripture today. So anyway, my own prayer life, when it comes to that kind, was probably got to be about 2 hours in the mornings, you know, maybe sometimes three on a good day. But man, you get busy. You got a lot of stuff to do. And many of you still have you're working a full-time job. But I guess this is where we'll do the billboard. I'm going to give you a report, I guess. Let's look at the billboard first. So it's Jude. Yes, I'm going to do the joke again. Chapter 1. Okay. Well, it's funny to me. I'm sorry. Jude. You might have heard this verse before. Verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How would I do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now notice, keep yourselves in the love of God. If you really want to know what keep yourselves in the love of God is, all you got to do is listen to Jesus back there in John 15, I think it was, where he says, those that love me, keep my commandments. And make sure we didn't get it, he gave the converse, those that love me not, they keep not my commandments. Praying in the Holy Ghost, spending a lot of time with the Holy Ghost, he brings to remembrance all of the things that you've been taught, all of the words of Jesus. He'll remind you of your blueprint if you've been dragging your feet. He'll remind you if you've been jumping out ahead of your blueprint. You can do both. Don't ask me how I know that. Well, yeah, you know how I know it. I've done both. So let me mention this. I know we have jobs, we have families. I have a ministry that keeps me pretty busy. From my little bedroom, it's amazing the technology that we have today. From my little third bedroom that we've made into our office at our house, we reach around the world. I mean, we counsel and teach and minister and share. Just this last week, just the ones I'm thinking off the top of my head, in South Africa, in Australia, in New Zealand, and just, it's amazing. And I told them, I'll go ahead and tell you this too. I mean, there's more happy. Don't be moved by what you see. I told them Sunday, like the last calling in the lost, there were so few people. There were very few people there. And it gets disheartening, you know. You look and you go, wow, we used to have more than this at our home Bible study. You know, way more. But see, then I was, so one day I was kind of had my lower lip interfering with the gas pedal about that. I'm, you know. And the Lord had me go look at the YouTube page where you can see how many views. Good Lord. And it, you know, depends on how far back. If you just go back like normally, even just 2 weeks, it'll be around 300 people have seen that. If you go back 4 weeks, it'll be about 500. And if you go back far enough, it's, you know, there's a lot. I said, would y'all be encouraged if there was 400 people here tonight? Well, yeah. And then he reminded me about the MP3s, because a lot of people, they don't watch the videos. They still like to listen on audio. So I got to checking that. And this isn't even including Dave Roberson's website. I'm just talking about the ones at our website. We're hitting about 300 a week, 1,200 a month. You know, if you added that all together, it's a pretty fair church. You know? What I'm saying, there's a lot more going on than what you think. You know, don't be moved by what you see. But we're in for a change. Okay, back to prayer. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so here's the commercial. Now, because people are busy and they have jobs and activities, and we don't want to interfere with that, but the church, the prayer center, is making ample time available for prayer. Well, I actually decided this week to avail myself of it. Nobody. Well, I wouldn't say much. I know who wasn't here. I wouldn't say much. Okay. Anyway, so like, now we don't know what the long-term Wednesday night format is going to be. You know, we've had worship for quite a while. Before that, we had teaching for quite a while. Before that, it used to be prayer. So and we're still evolving about Wednesday night. I don't know what Wednesday night. I just say come. Whatever happens is going to be good. But this last Wednesday was prayer. So that we came. We got in a good hour and a half, I think it was. Yes, till 8:30. We just praying in tongues. And I got, it was pretty much the old, no. Old is not a good word. Pretty much the veterans. It's better. The veterans of prayer that were here. And there was no conversations going on. Dave would have been so proud. Because in the early days, the man would do everything he could trying to gather us for prayer. And everybody was so starved for fellowship. It was way more fellowship. You know, there'd be little conversations going on all over the place. And you walk by, they're not in tongues there. They're my Aunt Susie this and my this and that happened. My car, I had a flat. But man, Wednesday night, it was just all prayer. It was great. If you don't know it, now you ought to write these down. If you don't know this, Friday, it's my understanding, and these change, but right now, Friday, the church is open from noon till 10 o'clock at night for prayer. Not saying you have to come and stay the whole time. A lot of people are still on their job at noon and other things. But you can come and then go handle what needs to be handled and even come back. Now, I'm giving you a report. I'm just because, so Friday, I could come at noon, so I did. And I stayed till about 2:30. And then at 2:30, I go pick up my 98-year-old mother and we go get our granddaughter Lily and pick her up at school and get snacks. My mother calls them. You have to put an H in it. It's not snacks. It's snacks. She loves snacks, okay? And boy, and if you can get a coupon, you get two burgers for the price of one. Normally she might not like that burger, but if you can get two for the price of one, that's the best burger in Tulsa right there. Okay. You know, I mean, just love all of that. And so I was occupied with that. I was gone from 2:30, but about 6:30, I came on back down. And I stayed till 9. 10 o'clock is too late for me, okay? That's too close to my bedtime. I need nobody. Anyway. But anyway, so Friday I got in from noon till 2:30, and then from 6:30 till 9. Okay, that's better. And then Saturday, it's open at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, right now, I think it's open till noon. Okay? That's a lot of prayer time. And again, the people that were here, they weren't fellowshipping. They weren't, just talking about, they were actually praying. And in addition to that, there is an intercessory prayer meeting. If you want to go, not the children's room, but the next office as you go out. It's in there, and that starts at 9 o'clock, and usually it goes till they tell me about 10:30. Well, I attended that too. Not everybody did. That was here. Some people stayed out here and just prayed in tongues. But you can go in there and join the intercessory group, you know. Now, here's my report, though. There's been some pretty heavy things going on this week. Things that, in my emotions, I should be down. And if I let myself, I could be real easy. I am on cloud nine. I mean, I've never been so excited. I've never been so hopeful for everything that's going on. God's in charge. God's in charge. We're going to have revival. I still believe Tommy Perez is coming out of that wheelchair. I still believe it. And whoever gets there first, kudos. You know, I'll buy, if you can get that boy out of that chair, I'll still buy your airline ticket today. And if you can't get him out, you got to pay me back. I'll get you there. Amen. But I'm telling you, I am experiencing exactly what it says there. Beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. I could be down. I think I would be if it had not been for this large amount of prayer this week. I'm not worried. I'm not fearful. God's in charge. We're going to revival. Hallelujah. Amen. I highly recommend it. So I'm just saying that. Please, it's not a condemnation thing. But if you can come, I'm telling you, I've been at this a while. And I'm telling you, just 1 week of giving those more extended hours to prayer, and I can already tell the difference. I'm stronger. I'm higher. It's up is the good word. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's my advertisement. So I don't know what Wednesday night will be. It may be prayer. It may not be. It might be teaching. It might be worship. But whatever it is, it's going to be good. So I can't guarantee about Wednesday night. I don't know. But Friday, if you any time that you can there, from noon. And I know you can pray at home. Trouble is, you probably won't. We had a few honest people. Problem, you'll get involved with this. You'll get involved with that. Well, I need to do this. And good intentions. But it's easy to pray here. It really, these walls are saturated with decades of prayer. And just come on, first of noon till 10 o'clock, come get you some. Come get you a slice of prayer. Is that okay? We got a big buffet. Just come get you a big slice of prayer, you know. And if you got to go do stuff, we'll go do stuff and then come back if you can. But then there's Saturday. And right now it's seven in the morning till noon. But then I hear rumor that it may, for a season at least, go all the way to 6 o'clock. Well, that's not that you have to stay the whole time, but just making it available that you can come and get what you can. I just really, really highly recommend. Listen to that message again from last Sunday, that we remain the house of prayer. My house, now this is just quoting Jesus, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You are the temple of God. You are the house of God. You shall be known as the house of prayer. Okay? All right, end of commercial message. Go ahead and open up to, you ready? Revelations. It's not as heavy as you think. We are going to talk about your first love. But he's going to have me back up a little bit from where I thought I was going to start. So, and this is one of the five messages. We'll do it another time. Revelations chapter 2. And starting in verse 10. You can look this up later. We're not have to turn there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is writing. He's trying to straighten out all this stuff in the baby church. If we was going to pick one church in the New Testament as being the baby church, it'd be Corinth. Isn't that right? Corinthians. Paul himself described them as being, I can't give you meat. You have not been able to bear it. All I can do is give you milk. You still can't bear it. So everything in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for sure is milk. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right near the end of it, and I'm paraphrasing, and he says, I'm getting ready to come visit you the third time. And I'm telling you right now, when I come, I'm not going to spare. I hope I find everybody like I'd like to find them, but if I do not, I'm not going to spare, because I fear there's fornication and tumults and divisions going on among you. And he's coming to correct that. So we got at the one end of the spectrum. You could say, well, the Corinthian church, probably of all the churches mentioned, you know, in the New Testament, that would be the baby church. Okay? Isn't that right? The most undeveloped. Well, I think most people would say that maybe the highest developed would be the Ephesian church. You know, the book of Ephesians is just amazing. The revelation knowledge that's in there, you know, Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I pray that they be with me where I am. Well, in the natural, you don't know what in the world that is. You got to find out Paul found out, the apostles praying in that first century, he found out, oh, we're seated with him, in him, at the right hand of God. We've been quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and we are seated together in him at the right hand of God. That's pretty high. Isn't that right? But see, you find out that by reading the book of Ephesians. So on that scale, we might say, well, okay, maybe, you know, Corinthians would be the baby church. And, yes, sir. And Ephesus would be the senior church. I'm not sad. I'm happy where we're going. There's a line, there's something you have to see in 2 Corinthians 13. I didn't think we were going there. If you don't mind, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 won't work. Now, this is the baby church, okay? But they're born again. If you read chapter the first three or four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul just brags on them like crazy. He says, you're beloved of God. Christ is confirmed in you. You come behind in no gift. On and on and on. He says good things before he starts giving them correction. Okay? This is a born-again bunch. But it's a baby church. Okay? To the point, let's pick it up here in... I said 13. Let's start in chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, now he's about to come again, and not just send a letter, he's coming. I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my Father, my God, will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Paul does not believe in greasy grace, I'm telling you right now. Chapter 13, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now we said all that to get to this verse. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. This is such a baby church. Paul is saying, the way you guys are acting, are you sure you got Christ in you? I mean, isn't that something? He said, you better find out before I come. But I trust that you shall know that we're not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. And what have we learned about the grace of God? For the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, fleshly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Another place it says, the Lord knows them that are His. Let all who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And here Paul is saying, I pray you do no evil. Well, we're doing evil. Are you sure Christ is in you? So the extreme I'm trying to get you to here is they are born again. You could go back and read those first three chapters of 1 Corinthians. But boy, Christ in them is almost a vapor. At least their response to Him is that way. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to get in a baby church. If you go ahead and turn to Revelations, I'll just talk about Ephesians on the way. Christ is in them. Again, read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, first three or four verses, and you'll see that Paul definitely says these are born again people. But he says you're babes in Christ. I have to teach you. And I can't even give you meat. I've got to give you milk. You see that? All right. If we went to the Ephesians church, I think that it would be quite different. Paul spent 3.5 years there. Then he trained Timothy, who became the pastor. And history says that became a really big church, like 100, 150,000 people. Well, that's Lord, and especially then. That's huge. It's a massive church. So we've got the baby church. Not even sure the way you're acting, are you sure Christ is in you? You know? Then you got the church at Ephesus, which is mighty and powerful and strong. And Paul spent 3.5 years and he trained Timothy, and Timothy's a pastor. And even John, the apostle John, finished out his days at that church in Ephesus. Isn't that something? Now, with all that in mind, how many of you think the apostle John had Christ in him? I'm just pretty sure he did. I mean, I love that we went through the first John series, and here's John, faithful, 50, 60 years later, writing those three little epistles, and he is holding fast to the teachings that he heard Jesus preach when he was a young man, and he's still preaching it the same. We went through that series already. If anybody has Christ in them, isn't it the Apostle John? All right, now, said all that to get to here. Revelations chapter, actually we're going to back up into chapter 1. Starting in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What does that mean? I was in the Spirit. I would think he's talking about praying in tongues, but let's don't be that dogmatic even. Let's just say I was in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I was in the Spirit. Prayer, meditation, somehow. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Unto Ephesus, ooh, not the baby church, but unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. This is John, the Apostle John. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a fire in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And get this, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now let's stop for a moment. Did John have Christ in him? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Isn't that right? Would you say John, he's been living a long time as a Christian. He's been in fellowship with the Holy Ghost for decades. History says he's in his 90s when this event happened here. So if anyone's familiar with Christ in them, I would think it'd be John. But when he saw Christ as he is, he fell at his feet like one dead. Now the only reason I'm saying that, I don't care how much of Christ you have, there is more. There is more. And I don't care if you're the Apostle John. And I don't care if you walked with him, put your hand in his nail-scarred hands. And I don't care if you've known him for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There is more. I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Hallelujah. Boy, when I saw that, I was going, oh my God. There's more. And no wonder Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I have to forget those things that are past and press towards those things that are ahead, reach towards those things that are ahead, and I press toward the mark for the high call of God that's in Christ Jesus. I want to know him. He says, I want to know him. I want to know him. This is who he is. And that's not even the message. Is that a good introduction? Now let's get to the message. Verse 17 again. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I can hardly read these words without crying. Do they affect you? How many times have I read this and I still can hardly read it? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That means so be it. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels. Don't tell me. Remember how this started? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Don't tell me he doesn't explain mysteries. When you're in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, that's exactly what he's doing right here. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, my desire here today is not to do a history lesson of the seven churches. We could do that. I have studied them extensively. Jim Martin's done a series on it. Pastor Bronk has done a series on it. And there's many resources. But I do want you all to understand this. All seven of these churches are in a small geographical area in what today is Western Turkey. They're pretty close together. You could visit all of them in a week. They're geographically pretty close. And at the time, they were flourishing. Ephesus was just one of them. Ephesus alone, they say, had 100,000 to 150,000 people in it. At the time when John wrote this, it is a big... Today, it'd be your mega church, you know? And they did it without computers and TV screens. I mean, and smoke machines. Come on, that's pretty good, don't you think? And the point of that is this: if you go visit that geographical area today, not one of them is still there. Now, I'm not saying there's not pockets of believers at Ephesus. I'm sure there is. I'm not saying there's not pockets of believers still small, but the churches, the way they existed when they were warned by him, and he was calling them to repent, I think we have pretty proof positive they did not. because none of them exist today. Do you think Jesus knew that before he visited John? He knew that that was going to happen. So these messages, if you'll allow me, they were for the churches then. But if anything, he knew they wouldn't be around in our day. Those messages, all of them, are for the church today. And it's a good thing to go through there and see what his warnings are. And by the way, he loves these churches. He brags on them where he can. The very first one is Ephesus. And what we're really going to, this message today is about your first love. So he begins writing. He continues speaking in chapter 2. Red letters in my Bible, this is the Lord himself speaking. Doesn't get more holy than that. Well, it's all holy. Black letters do. Don't send me no mail. I have a round file cabinet for that kind of stuff. Right by my desk. It's easy. Anyway. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Now notice he makes a difference. And thy labor. And thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and look, they're doing it not for their own glory, and for my name's sake hast labored. They're doing it for his name's sake. This is a good church. And hast not fainted. So before we go on to the correction, let's just look at this. You talk about a good church. He is so bragging on them. He says, I know thy works and thy labor. In other words, the works. Can't prove this. Works, there's a difference between works and labor. Okay? Works, I would think, would be feeding programs, perhaps taking care of widows. Or it might be reversed. That might be the labors. And the works will be casting out devils, raising the dead, and healing the sick. But put them together and you got both. Which one is works and which one is labor? He says you're doing both. And you're doing it. He doesn't say anything bad about how they're doing it. And I love how he says later, for my name's sake. For my name's sake. They're doing it for him. I like that church. I like that church. It's a good church. We should all be doing whatever the Lord has called you to do. Your works, your part. Everybody has a part to play. You've got to work and a labor and whatever it is. And do it for his name's sake, not trying to build something in your name. And they were doing it right, though, and he's commending them. So works and labor, and I know thy patience. See, it's one thing. It's one thing to have patience for a little while. Our oldest daughter, Erin, she used to always say, and I just love her, she used to always say, patience is highly overrated. Well, when you're young, that's always the way you feel about it. Patience is highly overrated, you know. Even when you're old, I'm not that crazy about patience. I want it now. I want it yesterday, you know. But patience, you know, the foundation prophecy that's on the foyer as you come in, that word translated patience, really today we would probably say endurance. It really, the American idea of patience is not exactly the same as what that Greek word was. It's endurance. See, and it's one thing to feed the weed. And, oh yeah, we're feeding the widows. Glory, I've been called of God. I want to feed the widows. And you know, you get over there and I'm not going to draw a lot of graphic. But it might be really fun the first week. Maybe even the first month. But after the first year, after the first 10 years, the thrill is gone. You're doing it by endurance now. Yeah, you know, he says about this church, man, they endure. And plus, they probably get some persecution and some friends and family. And if they're standing up for righteousness, there's no doubt all who live righteously shall suffer persecution. You know, the Bible says. So they endured that. They continued doing the works and the labor. This is a good church. I like this church. Jesus liked it. He's commending them. Oh, man. And then he goes, and you cannot bear them which are evil. Now let's keep that connected. Has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. You remember the two letters? I remember Timothy was the pastor here for a long time. The two final letters that Paul ever wrote right before he died was to Timothy. And both of those letters, if you had to boil it down to just one statement, hold fast the doctrine I delivered you. You hold fast to the doctrine. And they held fast to it so that even if somebody comes in saying, I'm an apostle, I've got a fresh revelation, but if it doesn't square with the original gospel, you are not an apostle, sir. You are a liar. You are a liar. Your doctrine falls underneath Jesus Christ, what he taught, or you're a liar. That's a good church. They were protecting the sheep too. But more than that, they were protecting the truth. Glory to God. Good church, man. I like it. And in verse 3, he continues, and has borne and has patience, that's that endurance again, for my name's sake, and has labored and has not fainted. That's work. Fainted just means give up, wore out. I'm tired of this. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm 72 now, and every now and then I get asked, they find out I'm a preacher, they say, you going to retire? I can't find it in here. I can't find retiring in here. You preach till you go home. That's the deal. I'm not hired. I'm owned. You know? I'm owned. But man, is that not a... We talk about bragging on a church. Jesus is bragging on his church. Man, you find a church where they're doing the works like raising the dead, casting out devils, and they're doing labors like feeding the widows and taking care of the orphans, and they hold fast to the doctrine, and if some false prophet, some false apostle comes in, no, that's a lie, get out. And they're protecting the sheep and keeping the doctrine pure, and they're enduring persecution for his sake. Where do you sign up? I'm a member. That's a good church. But let's read on verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And it's so amazing to read this in the context of the Ephesians church. Because thou hast left thy first love. And you read, and you go, man, he says they're laboring for his name's sake. He says they're doing all of this work. They've got ministry going on. They're casting out devils. They're, without doubt, they're evangelizing. They're doing all of these things, you know. And they're busy. You mean you can be busy doing all those things? I'm gonna condense all those things into one word. You can be busy doing ministry. And really be busy doing it and doing good work and helping people. And still yet come to the place where you lose your first love. It's like a dagger through my heart. I felt a little bit of that this week when I saw how far I had fallen from prayer. And I never just quit completely, but compared to what he wants me doing, I remember the first days. And Sue and I weren't even filled with the Holy Ghost at first. It was a few months before we got filled with the Holy Ghost. But, I remember those early days, those first days. That's different for different people. I know that. I know now it's probably because of the teaching calling that he was going to have on my life. I didn't know that then. I am telling you, when I got born again, I loved him. But I had this insatiable hunger for the Word of God. I felt like if I didn't eat it, get it in me, read it, if I didn't have it, I thought I would die. And I got to tell you, Sue knows, I didn't care about going to work. My whole life was about making money before that, and how I looked, and the car we drove, and the house we were in, and we looking fine. I got pictures. I can prove it. We dressed nice, looked nice, were, you know, good looking back then. Now, honey, you don't believe me, I got them on my phone. See me after the service. But anyway, I'd marry that girl again. I'm telling you right now, I still lose my train of thought when I see her now, much less then. Anyhow. What I'm saying, all that meant so much to me right before I got saved. And Sue can tell you, after, man, bedhead, get up, my old blue robe, walk in there barefooted, sit down at that ugly glass table that I despised. But I sit down at that table, get my Bible out, leave me alone. Just let me read my Bible, not understanding 2% of what I'm reading. And it didn't matter. Tears. Did I even understand? I was reading Numbers and crying. You got to be saved to read Numbers and cry. Come on. 140 this and 681 that. And oh, really? Oh, God. It's so wonderful. I worship you. 384 of those. Oh, my God. But the first love. And he was, it's like when I first fell in love with Sue, but with him, he was on my mind all the time. Even when I couldn't be there and I would be gone, man, that constant, Lord, you want to do anything? You want to go anywhere? I love you, Lord. How about that guy right there? He say, what do you want him? What about him? Does he need something? I got some money. What do you need? No? Nothing? Okay. What about that guy? Just driving in my pickup. I remember one day, it was cold. I remember it was the winter time, so it couldn't have been, we must have been filled with the Holy Ghost by then, because I know that's where wound up giving this guy my favorite jacket because it was cold. So we got saved in the summertime, and so that had to be, so by this time, this story, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I know for sure. I'm driving along and I see this guy, and I'm telling you that constant fellowship, that constant communication, that first love thing was going on now. And I saw that guy, and the Lord said, pick him up, offer him a ride. It was cold, and he's just walking. He didn't even have a coat on. He's walking, and the wind was blowing. I had that was Lazarus, my old red pickup that we raised from the dead. Anyway, so I said, you need a ride? Yeah, get in. Where are you going? And he was just real open about it, and this was way back in the 80s. He says, well, I'm headed up to the Promenade Mall. Not Promenade, Woodland. I'm headed up to Woodland Mall, and what I do is I stay in the men's room, and I perform. I get money for doing certain things there. Okay? Like, we've got children in the room. I said, how much an hour do you make? And he told me it was, I forget now, 20, 40 bucks an hour. I know I paid him for 2 hours. He said, if I just give you the money, I don't want you to do nothing. If I just give you the money, can I have your attention for 2 hours? Well, I guess so. I witnessed to him for 2 hours. I took him, got him a good breakfast. I forget now, it was IHOP or somewhere like that. And we talked, and I didn't care who was around. It didn't matter who was around. I didn't care if they heard me or didn't hear me. This guy, I did my best. I sowed the word. And he could tell it was real. It wasn't an ounce of judgment. It was the love of Christ coming through, just trying to reach this guy. And I tried my best to lead him into sinner's prayer, and I never did do it. And I'm about to drop him off. And I don't remember now whether the Lord said or whether just his compassion. But I saw again, he didn't have a coat, and he's about to go out. I said, here, I think this will fit you. And I just gave him my coat, and it did. And so I'm the one without a coat. But I had another one at home. And I got to tell you, when I left there, I was crying on the one sense because he didn't receive Jesus. But on the other sense, the other side, I was so happy. I was just so happy that I could be there and that the Lord could reach through me somehow, trying to reach that guy. I pray somehow. I just, you know, one sows, another waters, and it's God that gives the increase, you know. I so pray that seed, somebody came and watered it, and that eventually he got saved. I so hope I get to find that guy in heaven. Man, we've got to, we can never leave our first love. It's all, and that's really what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. He says, look, if I give away everything I have, if I pray to where I understand all mysteries, if I even allow my body to be burned at the stake, which that happened a lot, and have not love, profits me nothing. We can never leave our first love. Not even for good things like the work of the ministry. Now, back to Jude. I know you left it. You don't have to go back there. You know those two little verses. One way that you help build yourself up and stay in the love of God. Jude, verses 20 and 21 again. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I know from experience, I've been at this a while, can y'all tell? I know from experience, when I spend a lot of time with my first love, that love stays in me in a way that I can feel it, and in a way others around me can feel it. Angie is so like her daddy, she only the good parts. I can be sitting three seats away, and if I'm unhappy, she says, I can feel that. She can also feel when I'm full of joy. See, when we're full of the real love of God. See, again, I hope you remember that image. The Corinthian little baby church, Christ is in them, but to the point, even they're not sure. You need to examine yourself. Your life, you sure can't look at your lifestyle right now until, you know, examine yourself to go from that to the Ephesians church and then go from that to what John saw. And you know Christ was in him. But my goodness, don't tell me there's not more. See? Praying in the Holy Ghost keeps you built up on your most holy faith. It keeps you in that love of God. It is fellowship spirit to spirit. That real you, the born again you, and God the Holy Ghost, and you guys are communicating in a way that you'll never be, well, that I've never been able to find just in my own mind. Now, I thank God for worship where I worship Him in my natural language. I thank God for those times. That's all good. But Paul said, I will sing in the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding. And we're supposed to be singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Isn't that right? And it can be continuous. And I'm telling you, when that's really going on, not only will you walk higher and feel lighter and be encouraged and be a light where you go instead of a, you know, the people around you can feel it too. Smith Wigglesworth was so accustomed to walk. He couldn't go 30 minutes without prayer. He says, I never pray longer than 30 minutes, but I don't ever go 30 minutes without praying. And when Lester Sumrall went to visit him, he could hardly even visit with Lester Sumrall because they'd get started, be 15 minutes, said, we need to hear some word. And he'd just open up to Matthew and just start reading a couple of chapters. And then they'd talk for a few minutes and we need to hear the word. And he'd open over to John or Luke or wherever and just start reading the word. That love of God, though, I want to be like when Smith, he just got on the train. That's all he did, just get on the train and sit down. Didn't say anything. And that presence. I like to read that passage in Revelations. That's who He is. Jesus. That real Christ in you. You get any. John himself, he felt like a dead man. The more you have that in you. Him in you. Can I say Him in you? Don't tell me there's not measures. Man, people can feel it. That guy, Smith, got on the train. Didn't preach, didn't say a word. Got on the train and sat down. And the atmosphere he walked in brought such conviction that at least one man dropped to his knees and said, Sir, you convict me of sin. What must I do to be saved? God, give us some of that. God, give us some of that. Hallelujah. So this is, an extension of, in a way, of last week's message, even though we're talking about doing the first works. All I know is We didn't know about praying in tongues when, you know, Michael Muccio is the guy that led us to the Lord. He taught us so many good things. Thank God for him. Got us really saved. But then we lived 12 years trying to live for God without knowing much about how to find the leadership of God. And we learned a lot about faith, and we went through some wars. You know, that's during that 12 years is when I won that, you know, the Lord through me won that round with melanoma cancer. I mean, in this life, I found your ground will be tried. When the doctor says, you better, young man, you need to get your affairs in order. We don't think you have 6 months. That's not the time to begin your Bible study. That's not the time to begin your fellowship time with the Lord. Thank God we had studied enough and learned enough of the Word of God before Dave that we knew how to stand on the Word, and thank God we won that battle. You can tell I didn't die, right? It's been a long 6 months. But then eventually we wound up here at the prayer center. Oh, I thank God. And we had been through it. That year before, Sue nearly died from having an 8-pound blood mass in her. All three of our kids decided to go into rebellion at the same time. Angie always says she rebelled the least. And she did. In the shortest amount of time. Man, we were in bad shape when we come through here. I had been so hurt by preachers. I wouldn't trust one as far as you could throw anything. I had been hurt, and I didn't trust them. And I mean ones that I had... I'm an all-in guy. I mean, you know, we had gone all in, and we got all in hurt. I remember walking through the door. I'll go ahead and tell you this. It's embarrassing. But we come walking in the door. We had seen Dave one time many years earlier, and that was in the days when Dave still had his mustache. And all we really remembered was he was funny. He was funny, you know, and he wasn't judgmental. And so, but as we're coming through the doors, now this, I heard a voice on the inside of me that I hate to admit I heard, because I'm a war carpenter's son. I'm supposed to be tough and manly, even though I'm short, but I'm tough and manly. See? I come walking through the door, and I hear this voice, and I know it's inside of me. And it sounds like a little whiny sissy boy. And I hope I can still, as I get older, my voice keeps getting lower. But it was, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. And I'm thinking, that cannot be my spirit. That cannot be even my, that can't be me. But it was. Man, I was so hurt. Dave would always say, emotions cannot be dismissed. They must be turned. Man, I didn't trust preachers as far as I could throw one. And we come in here, and I don't want to go through that whole story again. You've heard it so many times. I call it the worship. Thank God for the worship we have now. That day, it was not... It didn't put me in the spirit. Let me just say it that way. It was so bad, I kept thinking, oh, let's see what he says about this. I'm thinking he's going to come out. And, you know, because it was bad. Nobody here involved, so quit looking around. There's no, okay. But it was bad. And so I'm waiting to see what Dave says about, you know, this Pastor Dave, because I don't trust preachers. You know, I'm here, but I'm kind of here. I wanted to be here, don't get me wrong, but every defense is up. I do not want to be hurt again. So I'm waiting to see how he handled it. You know, man, that was bad. What are you going to say about that, preacher? And he comes out. I still remember. He says, now, here's Dave. He comes out, kind of bouncy, how he'd bounce on his feet. He said, now, look out. Worship to slit your wrist by. He said, now, look out. You might just start getting a little bit happy. And I'm going, about what? Your feet just might want to start dancing. And I'm going, to what? He just went on like he had just stepped out of the throne room of God. Hearing the angels and the holy creatures worshiping God around the throne. It's like he just stepped out of there. And he was walking in an atmosphere that was nowhere but around him. And we saw signs, we saw wonders, we saw God moving through this man. And in that very service, he hooked us. God didn't wait. He walked right over where Kyle's sitting, about two seats over from where Kyle is right now. So we're trying to hide. There was more people there then, and we're trying to hide in a cluster of people. No, he walked right over there. You two. And we both went. No, you two. Come, step out in the aisle just a minute. We're sitting there. I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. He says, I saw the hand of God come down on you two. He said, I saw a banner over you. And there's just one word on that banner, and it's change. Now, I forgot to tell you, the night before, Sue and I, the reason we were there Sunday morning, the night before, we said, if our lives don't change, we're going to die. We can't keep going like this. It's got to change. And that was the operative word. We just kept, it's got to change. And then Sue suggested we come here. There was not another word that would have got me. I knew it had to be the Holy Ghost giving him that. And the Holy Ghost hooked us. I'm so glad he did. And here's where we started learning how to follow the Lord. It's one thing to love the Lord. It's another thing to have faith in His Word. But direction, what does He have for you to do? What does He have for me to do? How does my part fit with your part? How do we work together? All of those things, thank God, we learned through Pastor Dave Roberson. I'll never forget it. I'm trying to close. One of my earliest favorite services, I preached this all over the world. It was first years. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. It says comfortless in the King James, but the Greek is O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And I'm going to send you another comforter. He's the one that's going to guide you into all truth. And I thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to be led by the Holy Spirit, how to find our place in the body, how to hook up with your place in the body, if that's what He's called us to do, so that all together we can be one body of Christ and we can win this lost world. Did you get anything out of that? God, I really recommend prayer. I want to advertise one more time, and then I don't know what's going to happen Wednesday night. Just come. But Friday from noon till 10 o'clock, the church will be open for prayer. You don't have to come in the whole time. Please, just come. I'm telling you, you'll tell a difference. Come, and if you have to leave, go do that. Come back. You know, just get what you can. And then Saturday, starting at 7 in the morning, at least till noon. And if you want to get in the intercessory prayer, you can. And remember, conference is what, 2 weeks away? Man, let's step it up in prayer. Let's step it up. Let's be ready to, the children are coming. And they need feed. They need fellowship. They need love. They need Jesus. They need it. So let's get ourselves ready. Can you tell I'm excited about prayer? Yeah. All right. I accomplished my job. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for this. Lord, we do never want to lose our first love. And Lord, if we've let it slip right now, just every one of us, we're repenting, Lord. But go back to those first works. That's what you said to do, is go back to the first works. I don't know that I even read it. People, let me read it real quick, because this is what he told them to do. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. It's just a matter of repent and do the first works. Well, the first works for me are worship, the word of God, prayer. There wasn't much fasting then. There's more fasting now. But the first works, return to your first. But even more than those things, it's the heart union. I love you. I worship you. You are my Savior. You are my God. My whole life, you are my life. What do you want to do today? That's returning to the first works. Hallelujah. Father, again, I thank you. I don't feel you leading me to have a corporate prayer or a line for that. But just each and every one of you, and those watching, wherever you are around the world, listen, you can do this right where you are. Just, he says, repent and do the first works. Remember back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. Remember when you first came to the Lord. Remember how he came and started cleaning up the temple, started cleaning you up. And you would bow the knee and bow the knee. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Spend time with Him, listening for that voice, that still, small voice, listening. My sheep hear My voice, He said. And when He'd point somebody out to you, whatever He'd say to do, pray for them, give money to them, witness to them, whatever it would be. Oh, those are great days. Those are great days. And then keep yourselves in the love of God, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend a lot of time in prayer. I've got to stop. I want to preach it again. Father, thank You. Thank You. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Have Your way with us. I'm hearing the Song of Solomon. Those of you, if you want to study some more on that, that's a love affair between the husband and the bride. He's the husband, you're the bride. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. All right.